for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 13th, 2001. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. John Nelson of Port Allen, Louisiana, is the speaker of the morning.
Apologize for sounding like a hillbilly in Arkansas, huh? I was telling the brethren last night that, I'm an ordained Church of Christ minister, and I used to preach against this, you understand? But the Lord, when he gets hold of you, he can straighten out your stinking thinking, you know, and get you all straight. And so when the Lord showed me that, you know, it's all right to play and sing at the same time. See, we could play or we could sing. We just couldn't do them together, you know. But when I found out you could do them together, I told the Lord I'd quit criticizing, you know, my Baptist and Methodist friends, you know, and folks, if I'd known about the Pentecostals, I doubt if I'd have been willing to forgive them, you know, and not criticize them. But anyhow, I told the Lord I wouldn't criticize the Baptist and the Methodist, and the Lord said, well, that's just not enough. You know, if you ever say never, you probably will. You understand? I said, well, Lord, I sound like a hillbilly. He said, that's because you are one. So you have it on good authority that you're listening to a hillbilly. Amen? Glory to God. But we just have someone very wonderful to sing about. And I've got a lot of nerve, and both of those help a great deal. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so excited. My sins are gone. It's a new experience not to be alone. It's a transformation what I used to be. I'm turned around, I'm homeward bound. I've got to sing about the peace that's in my soul. Sing about the love that makes me whole. Sing about the joy His presence brings. I'm turned around, I'm homeward bound. I've got to sing. This man called Jesus has set me free, and His Holy Ghost is teaching me. There's a bell in glory that I've got to ring. I'm turned around, I'm homeward bound. I've got to sing. Sing about the peace that's in my soul. Sing about the love that makes me whole. Sing about the joy His presence brings. I'm turned around, I'm homeward bound. I've got to sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was driving along one day, thinking about this friend of mine whom God had found in the middle ward of a veterans hospital. The Vietnam War and drugs had just destroyed his mind. And God said, Gene, if you'll praise me, I'll heal you. Well, Gene does. Hallelujah. You know, you test the anointing by the number of strings he breaks. You know, if he breaks one, well, you know, it's just good anointing. And if he breaks three, well, the roof's coming down. You understand? I got to thinking about him and how his brother had been hurt in an industrial accident. And I had gone by to pray for him instead of the priest. And his folks were quite distraught, you know, because he called for me instead of the, you know, for the last rites and this sort of thing. And Gene was telling me, he said, you know, they can prove I'm crazy. I said, well, I hope they don't try to straighten you out. Hallelujah. You know, folks told me I was crazy, and I said, well, if I am, I'm going to stay that way. This is a whole lot more fun than anything else I ever had. Hallelujah. But this song came to me as I was thinking about that. Oh, they tell me I'm crazy, that I've lost my mind. I talk about Jesus most all of the time. But it doesn't matter what they say about me. My mind had me bound up, and he set me free. So I don't want my mind, I'd rather be free. I've had all I care for of their sanity. And if this is crazy, just let me be. I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me. Now, I don't want my mind. It's not worth the call to have their respect, but still to be lost. For what's wrong with my mind? Lord, I found the cure. I give up my mind and let you give me yours. For I don't want my mind, I'd rather be free. I've had all I care for of their sanity. And if this is crazy, just let me be. I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me. Yes, I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me.
Hallelujah. It's a lot of fun being a Christian. You know, it's just a... You get excited about the Lord, and the Word of God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, I just enjoy the Lord. I really do. I'm not a real spiritual person. You know, I have some friends that think I am because, I prophesy a lot and that sort of thing, and they think I'm real spiritual and kind of spooky about it all, you know. But I'm not that. It's just that, I know the Lord, and I love Him, and I know that He knows me and loves me. And, you know, that gives you good feeling. You know, you just go around with good feeling. My prayer life, real simple. I get in my car, and I have about 1,000 miles a week of cab time. And we just go down the road rapping, me and the Lord. You know, we just talk it over. That's the way I started. That's the way I got saved. And so that's the way I still connect with God. And so, you know, I'm not a great intercessor and, none of those things. And, if you come to my house, I might be reading the Bible, might be watching old John Wayne on television. You know how that goes. I kind of like old John, still, I've just found out that God's a good God and He loves us all. And that's the whole purpose. He wants us just to enjoy what He has made available to us. Praise the Lord. I want to direct your attention this morning to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, 1 Kings 17. And, by the way, that's on page 234. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Word says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now, if he had been charismaniac, he'd have said, I rebuke you. But he just listened to the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. And behold, I have a little, but a meal in a barrel, a little meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son, for thus saith the Lord of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. That's the most familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. But I want to just point out to you that it was absolutely imperative that Elijah be in that place that God called there over and over again. Now, that place called there was very specific. It wasn't just, you know, somewhere doing something, but it was in this particular place. God said, that's where I send the raven. That's where the widow is that will sustain you. There. There. And it was absolutely imperative that he not only know where there was, but that he be there as God had directed. Now, I know that you have a call of God upon your life for ministry, every one of you. You were not only born that way, you were conceived in your mother's womb with a purpose and a call from God upon your life for ministry to others. Problem is, just most of us don't know what that is. You know, we say, well, Lord, I'd do what you want me to do, but, you know, I don't know what it is. But one of these days, I'll come around and tell you how to know what the will of God really is. You understand? But, nevertheless, the Word of God tells us that we are called to minister to others. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And he said, I'm the example. I'm the example. And so, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a place for you. And it's imperative that you know where that place is, and what that plan is, and, you know, what God is intending to do, what the purpose of God is for you. You know, it was exciting to me to find out that I was born on purpose. You know, that I was that I came here on purpose. Now, I was not planned. I can assure you that I was not planned by my parents. I was born during the Depression years, and my folks had five children, and I'm number six out of six. You understand? And so I'm just absolutely certain my mother and father didn't sit down and say, well, and now we have these five children, two boys and three girls. We We need another child, especially a boy, you know, to kind of round things out. I'm sure they didn't say that at all. You understand? I just came along anyway. You understand? But God planned me. God planned me. God had a purpose in my being here. And you know, when I discovered that, it changed my whole outlook. I mean, there's just a sense of worth that comes to one when he realizes that, first of all, you're God's creation, and you're not just created by chance and happenstance, but God brings you forth. God has a purpose for your life. But it's imperative that we know where there is. You know, it's interesting that the names of these places that God sent Elijah to have great significance. You know, all the names in the Old Testament about people and places are very significant. When you know what the meaning of the names are, you'd just be absolutely amazed how closely, the persons follow their name. In other words, they're called something over and over again. That's what they become. You know, when Jacob, the supplanter, was asked of the Lord, "What is your name?" He said, "I'm whom they say I am. I'm Jacob, the guy that cheats and the guy that manipulates, the guy that, doesn't do things for anybody else but Jacob. I'm the one they say I am." You understand? But God had a different perspective on Jacob. He said, "You're not Jacob. You're Israel. You're one sent from God. You're a friend of God." And so God turned Jacob, the supplanter, Jacob, the cheat, the manipulator, into a prince that night. And forevermore after that, you never saw him trying to make things happen. You never saw him trying to manipulate. He was just simply anointed of God as a prince with God and brought forth God's purpose then in his life. Glory to God. But getting back to Elijah and where God sent him. First of all, the brook Cherith. That simply means a cutting off. Cherith. Cutting off. As in cutting down a tree. But do you see how significant that was? That here Elijah was sent to that place and was separated from not only all of his family, you know, the Word of God. He comes into history here from oblivion. We're told, whom he was of, where he'd come from and this sort of thing, but nothing else about him except what James tells us in James the 5th chapter when he says Elijah was a man with like passions as we have. In other words, just a person like us. You know, I believe he'd like old John Wayne too, you understand? But Elijah was a man just like us. But he prayed earnestly that it rain not and rain not for the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and it rained. In other words, he was saying just an ordinary person who had enough faith to pray to God and had enough faith to get through to God and cause the rain to stop. And so now he's God's great man of faith and power for the hour. You understand? And he's full of that faith that prayer has brought unto him. And most of us will be that way. You know, if we do a lot of praying, we find out we have a lot of faith. Prayer builds your faith. You know, talking to God builds your faith. And so here he comes on the scene with all of this faith, full of this faith. You'd have thought he was ready for anything. But did you notice he was full of Elijah as well? Full of faith, but full of Elijah. You know, it takes a lot of audacity to go up to the meanest man in the world and say, "It ain't going to rain till I tell it to." You understand? And immediately God said, look, you go to the Brook Cherith, where it empties out into the Jordan, and I'll send, ravens to feed you there. Because Elijah had gotten himself into deep, deep trouble. But God was protecting him. God knew his purpose. God knew his plan. But he sent him there to this place of cutting off. You know, this place where the Brook Cherith empties out into the Jordan, and that was the place he had to be. Because that was the only place of safety for him, and that was the place where God was going to provide for his needs. You know, bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. There God sent him to. And there he went. And because he was there, first of all, God did cut him off from everything. God did separate him. Now, I'll tell you this. There is a place that God calls there for you. It may not be named Cherith, but I tell you this much. It will be Cherith. God will get you into the place where you have to make a choice. I learned that early when it comes to serving God. I had to choose between my wife and my family and God. I thought when I got home after, being immersed, and, to me that was getting saved. I was in the Church of Christ. But I thought I wouldn't find a wife and children. You understand? But I'd made up my mind. And I recognized that the thing that matters to me is being right with God. I had to make that choice early. And sooner or later, I can assure you that if you have not made that choice, you will. You will. God will bring you to that place. May not be named Cherith, but it will be that place of separation. You know, Jesus told the disciples in Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You can't learn anything from God as long as you're attached to anything from this earth. You understand? Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That place of cutting off called Cherith. That's where God sent Elijah. Called it there for him. God has a place called there for you that will do that very thing. Separate you from everything in this world that will hold you back from serving God. And then the next place is called Zarephath. That means a refining. And the reason this little village was called Zarephath was because there was in the village a smelting refinery that purified gold and silver to bring it to what we would call jewelry quality. You know, that had been separated from the ore. Now it was purified through this refining process until it was jewelry quality. And the way they did that was very simple. They heated this metal. Now, gold and silver, when it becomes liquefied, will also become translucent, or almost transparent. You can see through it. And in the gold or the silver, there were impurities, but they would tend to rise to the surface when it was liquefied and heated. And so then they would allow it to cool off and then brush off the ash that had been the impurities in the gold and silver. But then they'd do it again. Then they would do it again. Then they would do it again. Then they would do it again. And then they would do it again. And then they would do it again.
You ever been there? Yeah, I've been there. You know, I came through Cheevers once, but it seems like I get back to Zarephath just every once in a while. You know, God refining me. Listen, God cares about your character. God cares about, you know, your honesty and your, you know, your commitment and all these things. If you don't believe that, just, you know, just consider the large international ministries that have been going through, you know, the things they've gone through, because God cared a lot more for their character than he did for their ministry. You understand? God will let you know that quickly. God will let you go through the fire. And God, you know, will allow you to go through the intense fire. Whatever it takes to refine you, God just keep turning up the heat until he gets you there. You know, I'm reminded of my older brother. I grew up here in Missouri in the Ozarks, close to Springfield. And my brother was a body and fender man, you know, and 10 years older than I. And so when he started working on automobiles, I was a little kid, 10, 12 years old, you know, and I was so interested in what he did, I'd go down and watch him, you know. And, you know, I thought this was real neat. I mean, he could take those cars that had been wrecked, straighten them all out, you know, and paint them up and fix them up and just do a great job. And, you know, you could see some marvelous things. For instance, one day I was in his shop and he had a torch and there was a dent in a fender. And this was back in the days when they straightened those out instead of changing them, you know. And he picked up a torch, and he heated a spot right in the center of that dent. And he kept on heating that until it became white hot, almost liquid. And then he laid his torch aside, picked up a dolly, he called it, and put it up behind that little white spot, and picked up a hammer and just beat the daylights out of that one little spot. And, you know, after a while, I thought, now, this guy's got to be crazy. What in the world is he doing? So I finally got up the nerve to ask him, what are you doing? He said, I'm shrinking this metal. I said, say what? He said, I'm shrinking this metal. I said, how in the world are you doing that? He said, well, when I heat this metal and beat upon it, the molecules tend to come in toward that spot that I'm beating, and said, believe it or not, instead of that spot getting thinner where I'm beating upon it, it's getting thicker. And said, then when I straighten this fender out, it's been stretched when it got bent, and so when I straighten it out, instead of having a bulge, I'll have a smooth surface except for that one little thick spot that all I have to do is file it off. And I can go ahead and straighten out, you know, smooth out this fender, paint it up, and you'll never know it's been bent. I thought, my, this guy knows everything. You understand? But then later on, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I know exactly how that feels. I mean, God has had me there about 10 or 5 times. You know. I've been there. I know just exactly how that thing would feel. And then another time, I was in that shop, and they had a clamp attached to the lip of a fender on a car. You know, the inside lip where it goes around the tire. Had a little bead there so they could attach a clamp to it. And they had an eye bolt in the floor of the shop, and they had one of these things. We always called them a come-along on the farm, you know, where you a thing you stretch fence with, you know, and that sort of thing. He had one of those. And he would pull on that handle, and that fender would screech and squawk and, you know, groan and moan and carry on as it was being straightened out and sound like somebody in agony. And I thought, well, you know, I know how that feels. I mean, God has at least 4 or 3 times had me right there. You understand? I've been there. And seemingly, you know, I go back there quite often
Now, where God is trying to get me is to Carmel, Mount Carmel. That means a fruitful field, you see. This is where God intended to bring Elijah to. But before he could get him to Carmel, he had to bring him through Cherith and Zarephath and get him straightened out. You understand? Get the Elijah out of Elijah. Even then it was not really completed. Because, you know, as Elijah was out there on Mount Carmel, he was telling the prophets of Baal, when they were crying out to their God, said, call louder. He's probably gone to the bathroom. Sounds like Elijah was still pretty much alive, but at least he was improved upon what he got there. You understand? Lord of God. God has a place called there for you. Now, ultimately, it is Carmel. You're here for the purpose of being a fruitful field for God. That's your purpose. But on the way there, you'll find that God will put you in places that will shape you, that will strengthen you. Sometimes you think they weaken you, but they do not. You understand? And God will allow you to go through some circumstances that you'll say, Lord, I'm not ready for this. But listen, you have a promise from God. You have a promise from God. You know, the Word of God says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Did you read that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that which you are able. You know, the reason you go through some circumstances is just simply because you don't know what God knows about you. You don't know how strong you are. You don't know how right you are. You understand? You don't know the power of your faith until it has been tested. And God wants to prove to you that you're there. You understand? And the only way he can do that is give you the test because, you know, if you think about it, and, you know, if you're not in the test, you'll think, well, no, I'm not ready for that. And you'll never proceed. You know, we do this with our children. We send them to the first grade. Man, that's tough. Especially, you know, the first test. Bites his fingernails, you know. Worries and all this sort of thing. But then he gets through the first test and, don't you know, goes right through the same process again, being told and taught, learning, and then being tested. And, you know, that keeps going on and on and on and on, and the tests get harder all the time. Did you ever notice that? Well, that's exactly what God's doing with you. You know, He's teaching you, He's telling you, He's showing you, and then He's testing you. Because it doesn't mean anything until it's tested. And the tests get harder all the time, don't they? Because you're growing. You're growing. I had a pastor tell me one time about some circumstances that he was going through. I said, well, God must trust you a great deal. He said, what do you mean? So I just reminded him of what that word said. I said, now, God would not allow you to be going through this thing if you were not able to get through it. You understand? So when you face a test, you can face it in one of two ways. You can either capitulate and let the devil run over you, and you get to take that test again and again and again and again. However long it takes for you to decide, well, God knows what he's talking about, therefore I'm able. And so, you know, as the scripture calls it, girding up your loins, tightening your belt. and get on through it. And then get ready for the next one. Because it'll come. It will surely come. You understand? Glory to God. So here, God was improving Elijah's attitude while he showed him the degree of his faith before he sent him out to Carmel. You know, there in the home of that widow, the little boy died. And Elijah went through all sorts of machinations, but finally revived the little boy, and he was raised from the dead. But you understand, all of this Elijah was going through to prepare himself for that Carmel experience where he would say, let's prove who God is. Let's just determine whether Baal is God or Jehovah is God. And we'll use the test of fire. Whichever God answers by fire, he is God. Well, Elijah could do that because he had been tested and proven to himself. Do you understand? That's where God is sending you, to that fruitful field. There is the place of God's purpose, God's plan. If I didn't know that there was a plan of God for my life, if I did not know that I'm here today by divine appointment, I would not want to live any longer. I've been to that point of making that choice. I've had doctors tell me for the last 15 years I was going to die. Well, I won't die for them. You understand? And they tell me to retire, and I ask them what to. They say, well, you get up and be preaching and you'll die. Well, see, they don't really know that I'm not that kind of a preacher. You know, I don't get as fiery as some of these fellas, you know, and as excited about it. It's all down in here, you understand. But, honey, what's in here ever hits my feet? We're going to have us a party, I guarantee. You understand? Glory to God. But, I just tell them, listen, you need to understand something. I'd rather die than not be fulfilling my purpose from God for my life. So don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me. If you can give me something to make it a little easier and make me a little more comfortable, I'll take that. Other than that, I'm on my way. In fact, a few days ago, it's been weeks ago, months ago now, my wife went on to be with the Lord, and the day her body was interred, I was quite confused because I hadn't been taking care of myself. At that point, I wanted to die. But my son, who's a pastor down in Louisiana, insisted that I go to the doctor, and the doctor tested my blood sugar level, and it was 30. And by the way, at 50, you die. So, you know, the doctor told my son, said he should be dead. And here I was walking around, you know. They were having to feed me orange juice and whatever they could find around the office there with sugar in it, trying to get that blood sugar level, you know, elevated so they could let me go and not be afraid I'd keel over and this sort of thing. And my son told the doctor, said, that's the story of his life. That's the story of his life. Supposed to be dead, but he just won't die. You understand? Lord of God. But you see, I know I have purpose. And I have promise from God. You know, one of the things about prophecy that you can know is if God has spoken into you something that has not been fulfilled, then you can hang around and wait for it to be fulfilled. You know, now, if you let the devil, he'll take you out early. So you won't see that. But if you'll, as Paul told Timothy, you know, war a good warfare with that word that is spoken into you, you can just hang around. And it doesn't matter what doctors say. It doesn't matter what anybody says. All that matters is what God says. You understand? God will keep you. God will sustain you. You know, one time I was in Baker, Louisiana. I know I'm chasing rabbits right now, but I kind of enjoyed chasing this one. I was in Baker, Louisiana, and a woman came up to me and said, Brother John, have you ever wanted to ride on a riverboat? And I said, oh, yeah, ever since I read Tom Sawyer. Why? She said, well, God's going to let you. I said, well, that's good. You know, I accepted that. Down there, they call that land yet, you know. That pleasant and unexpected surprise that, you know, that you get. And so I had my lanyard, my promise from God that I was going to get to ride on a riverboat. And so one morning I was having a heart attack. Knew exactly what it was. First time it had happened to me, but knew what was going on. And I was telling the Lord, I'm ready. You know my heart. I'm ready. But you also know my heart. I want to be assured, as Paul was, that I've finished my course. So, you know, tell me that. And then, you know, I'll go without question gladly. And God said, John, it's not your time. You ain't been on the boat yet. See, God says ain't to me. Said, you ain't been on the boat yet. Someone told me later, said, just stay off the boat. I told him, well, he's made me some other promises since then. You understand? When I did ride the boat, I rode it from Hannibal, Missouri. Isn't that something? That little town that Mark Twain was writing about when he wrote Tom Sawyer. I got on a river boat there and rode down the Mississippi River. You understand? God keeps his promises. That may seem a little silly to you, but it wasn't to me. You know, it was important to me that God would speak something to me and then fulfill it and let me know that he not only cares about the things that I very much need and am pressed for, but he even cares about the things I'd kind of like to have, you know. Cares enough about them to provide them, you understand. You know, I told a cardiologist not long ago, I said, you might as well understand, I'm not going to die with a heart attack. He said, well, what are you going to die with? I said, I don't know. He said, well, how do you know you're not going to die with a heart attack? I said, well, how do you know about all the things I've told you about your life that have been fulfilled? He said, oh, God told you. Yeah, God told you. God told you. You understand? God made you a promise. God made you a promise. And if God has made you a promise, that you can hang around until it's fulfilled. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know, I have to tell you that here a few months ago, I really didn't want to stay around. But, you know, I've gotten hold of John and dealt with John so that John realizes that God has purpose and God has plans, and I'm going to be around till it's fulfilled. I might as well enjoy the trip. You understand? Glory to God. But here, there is the place of God's purpose and God's plan for your life. The place where God has made promises to you. The place where God fulfills those promises. There. Miraculous provision you could ever imagine. Because have you ever been around a raven? They are the most gluttonous, stingiest bird in the world. To try to get something out of one's beak is to risk your fingers up to your elbows. You see? And that bird is the one that God sent with bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. Miracle. Miracle provision. And not only that, someone told me this one time, and of course the scripture doesn't say this, but it sounded so good I decided to believe it. told me that the only place that, you know, the raven could have gotten bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, in that land where there was this great, this great drought and you know, great lack, was the king's table. I'm going to believe that because I like to. That raven took the king's bread and took the king's meat and took it to his enemy and sustained him there. But God kept his promise and provided for him. And then, of course, there was the oil and the meal, you understand, that just kept being replenished. No Cadillacs, no swimming pools, no four-bedroom houses, just what Elijah needed. But God provided. And I want to tell you this. When you are there, God will provide. God will provide. You know, if I ever decide to take another wife, I'm going to have to tell her, hey, I really wouldn't recommend this lifestyle to you. Because, Sister Winnie and I live by faith, and that's living in the midst of a miracle on the edge of disaster. You understand? But God's always provided. He's always provided. In fact, as Sister Winnie was going out, one of the things I could not do, was go out and minister. And, of course, this is the source of my livelihood. It's the way that God has supplied my needs for a number of years now. And, I needed to stay with her. And she said, don't worry, honey. God will provide. God does provide.
You understand? There is. Well, I didn't plan on it.
But there is a place of God's provision. You know, when Elijah went out to Mount Carmel, he had nothing. Absolutely nothing. God provided the altar. God provided the wood. God provided the sacrifice. God provided labor to dig a ditch around that altar. God provided water to pour over that sacrifice in a time of acute drought. And then God provided the fire that came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice and the wood and licked up the water that was in the trench. And then God provided the rain again. God provided the swords to cut off the heads of the 400 prophets of Baal and the 450 keepers of the groves. God provided the strength and agility for Elijah to outrun the king's horses and chariot all the way back to Jezreel. God supplied it all from zeal. Nothing. Honey, when you're there, God provides. When you're there, God provides. Now, you can worry about it if you want to. God doesn't want you worrying about it. Your worry will interfere. But you can just accept the fact God will supply. You know, I don't agonize over finances. I don't agonize over whatever. If people say, well, what if your car breaks down? In fact, one day my older brother, I was talking to him and told him I was back on the road again after I'd had bypass surgery. And he said, but Connie, what about your heart? I said, well, what about it? He said, well, what if you get out there and something happens? I said, you mean if I die? He said, yeah. I said, I'll go to heaven. That's where I'm going anyway. I said, does it matter a whole lot from whence I go? Does it matter a whole lot when I go? The destination is still the same, so why worry about that? He said, I guess you're right. Well, he's since gone to glory. Thank the Lord. He got saved since then. You understand? And he's gone. He knows what I'm talking about now. He found out. Glory to God. You understand? God is the provider, the great provider. And you don't have to go around confessing, a bunch of junk.
All you have to do is just believe what God has said. And God will provide. God does provide. Glory to God. There is a place of God's provision. One way you know that you're there is God is making a provision for you to be there. To be there. There is a place of God's power. Now, if you're ever going to know the power of God, it's going to be in that place that God calls there for you. In fact, looking at this thing with Elijah, I can tell you this, and also by personal experience, that there is a place of the ever-increasing manifestation of God's power through your life. Because if you're there with God, it grows. It expands. In fact, I suppose I might just as well go ahead and say this. If you're in the same place that you were concerning God's power manifesting through your ministry, 10 years ago, I don't think you're there. I think you need to find out where there is, maybe. Get there. This is an opinion, but I'm of the opinion that if you're where you were 2 years ago or even 1 year ago, in the expression of God's power through your ministry, you're not there. Because wherever God is, there is more. See, it's always been there. You know, the word says magnify the Lord. That doesn't mean make God bigger. It just means see Him bigger. Understand more of how big God is. And God's power is manifesting all the time when you're there. And it will be more and more and more and more. I've been told many times prophetically. The last pastor I ministered for told me the same thing. Said, these days ahead of you are going to be the greatest days for your ministry. Well, honey, I can tell you some things that have happened during the ministry that just make chill bumps rise on your chill bumps. But there's going to be more. God keeps saying it. He's probably the 20th or 30th pastor or prophet that told me that. You know, after a while, you get to believing it. You know, you hear it over and over again, and after a while you get to saying, well, yeah, maybe that'll... No, I believe it the first time. You know, I believe God's Word the first time I hear it. But it's just something that God just keeps reassuring me of over and over again. Let me tell you this. The time that is upon us is the time of the greatest harvest the world has ever known. And you're going to see that God is going to use you, if you allow Him to, in the greatest way you could ever imagine. The best time for ministry is ahead of you. I can assure you, the best time for ministry is ahead of you. Your greatest days are ahead of you, not behind you. There is the place of the ever-increasing manifestation of the power of God. And then there is the place of God's presence. See, Elijah wasn't alone. I know at the book it was just him and the bird seemed like, but God was there. You know, I know that in Zarephath just seemed to be him and the widow and that little boy, but God was there. It seemed like just Elijah and Gehazi out on Mount Carmel, but God was there. God was there. You know, Jesus expressed it this way, Matthew 18:20. Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you. When you're there, He said, I'm there. When you're there, I'm there. There is the place of God's presence. I want to tell you something. Brother Howard can tell you a great deal about heaven that I could never really imagine. You know, I read what the Word says, and I know it's true.
I have no doubts about it. I just can't comprehend it. It just not does not compute in my finite mind. But there's one thing I can tell you about that causes me to look forward to heaven. And that is the presence of God. The Word of God tells me that His presence is the light of that place and there is no darkness there. And the greatest moments of my life have been in the presence of God. And when I contemplate being in a place where I will never be separated from that presence, or where the understanding or feeling of that presence will never wane. Now that's heaven. That's heaven. I can't tell you about the other, but I can tell you about this. Being in God's presence is what heaven means to me. Being in God's presence. Feeling as I feel now. You know, I feel His presence here. Feel His presence here. In fact, right now there's a healing taking place in your body. That little fluttering kind of a sensation here is not what you think it is. It's not as serious as you think it is. But God's healing it right now. Hallelujah. God's healing your digestive system right now. Right now. There are a lot of things that you enjoy eating, but not anymore, because you like them, but they don't like you. But you're going to find out that they don't bother you. You understand? Of course, you'll have to put this to the test, but you'll find it out. You'll find it out. God loves you. God is touching your body right now. And His purpose is this. He wants you to know. Some time ago, you felt that you had healing touch. It hasn't manifested the way you felt it should, and so you've kind of given up on the idea. But don't give up the dream. Don't give up the vision. There is a healing anointing that when you begin to activate it, it will flow. Honey, if you have to touch 100 people to get one healed, do so. But then you'll find that when you touch those who are sick, they will be healed. That's what you dreamed about. That's what you dreamed about. That's the way it's going to be. God's going to fulfill your dream. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is so good. God is so good. Right back here in the blue sweater, you're going to get a communication. I don't know if it's a letter or what it's going to be, but some connection with someone you haven't heard from in years. It's very important to you, very precious to you. God's going to make that connection. You've thought, well, it won't do any good to look for them. And it would not have. You were right. But God's going to connect them with you. You won't have to go out and find them. He'll connect them with you. Amen? God loves you. God loves you. You're going to find that circumstances are much better with this person than you've imagined. You've thought, well, you've thought of all sorts of things that could be wrong being the reason that you've not had communication. You're going to find circumstances are much better than you've imagined. Glory to God. Glory to God. The brother right here on the back, see, would you come up here and let me pray with you? Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Scott.
Scott Johnson. Father, I thank you for Scott. I thank you for loving him. I thank you for bringing him to this place. I thank you for speaking into him according to your divine purpose in the name of Jesus. Scott, you're a doer. Much more readily than you are a hearer.
You're a doer. And you've sometimes been very critical of yourself because you've not been more scholarly and been able to search things out and find them. But God has been teaching you and will continue to teach you by the things that he has you to do. And you're going to find that you are anointed to teach others as God is teaching you. Not in the classical sense of getting a group of people together and lecturing, but rather showing them. God is going to use you as a teacher in many ways, as a counselor in many ways. God is instilling within you wisdom that comes from above. The Word of God says the wisdom that comes from above is pure and easy to be entreated. And you're going to find that the wisdom and the counsel that comes from God when you impart it to others is going to be a very easy thing for them to receive and know that it is indeed God. Amen. Father, I speak into Scott the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge that comes from you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Scott, you have thought that there's something in your life that you've thought would keep you from being what God wants you to be. Men have told you that, but God did not. Amen. Glory to God. God is so good. God is so good. He loves you so much. You know, I recognize that we live in a world where, we have to contend with the enemy. But the word that tells us greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world will sustain you. Will sustain you and keep you. Amen? Amen. Lord of God. What is your name? Say that again. Ostolo? Mm-hmm. I said that correctly? Ostolo. I've never heard that before.
It's
German. I see. Ostolo?
That's my last name.
That's your last name. What's your first name?
Emily.
Emily. Okay. May I call you Emily? All right. Emily, you have made yourself available to God for prayer. And you have found that God has put upon your heart the needs of many, and you have prayed for them very earnestly. Now, for a time, you experienced a move of God that just seemed very quick and very ready. In this last time, it seems that there's some kind of hindrance. I want you to know that the hindrance has nothing to do with whom you're praying for and what you're praying for or with you or your faith. It's just a matter of timing. It's a matter of timing. God is saying yes to everything that you're asking for. And that's unusual. You know, God answers prayer sometimes. He says no. But he's saying yes to everything that you're asking for. Everything. When it applies to the kids, the ones you call the kids, they're not kids, but that's what you call them. That's the way you see them. But when you're praying for them, it just seems like it gets worse all the time instead of better. But it's not what it appears. It's not what it appears. And you're going to see the great change. The Word of God that says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, is that which applies to you today?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to begin to see that God is going to manifest His glory in due time. In due time. Amen.
That's pretty much what I told someone last night.
Hallelujah. Well, God hadn't changed His mind since last night, has He? Hallelujah. 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 In the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's established. It's Brother right here. What is your name, sir? Jane. A new wave of ministry. Far more effective than anything you've ever been in before. Your longing for the things that have been, but God says they will not be again. What shall be is what I have intended all the time. What you've experienced has not been really according to God's purpose and intention, but what you're about to begin to experience is according to God's purpose and God's intention. And so there's a new wave of ministry that will be very, very fulfilling, because you'll know that God is directing, that you're truly there with God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is so cool. He loves you so much. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to speak to his brother's wife, James's wife. I suppose you're his wife. The way y'all were sitting there, I kind of think you were, maybe. there is a some sort of a business transaction that just seemed to be snarled up. But God's going to straighten it all out. And it seemed impossible. The lawyers can't do anything about it, but God can. You know what I'm saying? God can. He's going to straighten it all out. All you have to do, and literally, all that you have to do is wait. Wait. And God's going to just untangle it. He loves you. He really loves you. And He cares about what you care about. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is so good. God is so good. Maybe I'm standing in the wrong place for that thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know? Would you like to know? Princess. You know why I know? I've got a little daughter named Sharon. I looked it up. Hallelujah. Sharon. Different.
Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate, Brother Glenn?
Hallelujah.
Back to Sharon. It's going to be different in a much better way. You're going to begin to experience the manifestation of the answer to your prayers of long standing, especially concerning your family. And there are some things that just seem to have been hung on dead center, and some other things just seem to be getting worse instead of better. But you're going to begin to see God moving in your family and straightening things out. God's going to begin to prosper you as you've never been prospered before. Now, this is not just finances. You know, when the Word of God tells us about prosperity, he's not just talking about more stuff, more money. Of course, there's nothing wrong with having enough money, and the Bible deals with that as much as it does anything else. But it's more of everything, socially, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. God's going to begin to increase those things in your life. Amen? God is so good. God is so good. He loves you so much. Right here in this kind of a striped jacket, yes, what is your name? Jean? Jeannie. Father, thank you for Jeannie. Thank you for loving her. Thank you for bringing her here. Thank you for speaking into her according to your divine purpose. In the name of Jesus. You are the leader of the pack. You don't intend to be, But that's where you end up. You have and you will. So you just might as well accept that particular position. Understand that you are God's spark plug. It's intended to get things moving, and just go ahead and be yourself there. When you act upon your what you think their impulse is, when you act upon your leading, you think you've been a little much, you know, you think you've been a little strong, but you have to understand that that's the way God made you, and you have to understand that if you're not going to be yourself, who are you going to be? Mama used to say, she's getting smarter all the time. Talk about my mama. She's getting smarter all the time. But she used to say, if they don't like you being yourself, they sure won't like you trying to be somebody else. You just might as well be yourself. And know that that's the way God made you. God is good. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. You know, we heard last night about how the judgment that had been brought by law has been changed by the mercy of God. Because certainly none of us can be justified by law. We all break it. But God is merciful to each and every one of us. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Right back here in kind of a flowered blouse, shirt. Yes, you. Would you come up here and let me pray with you? What's your first name?
Brenda.
Father, thank you for Brenda. Thank you for loving her. Thank you for touching her body. We speak into these joints. We command that acid condition to neutralize in the name of Jesus. Father, we command these calcium spurs to dissolve in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak into this circulatory system. We command these arteries to open in the name of Jesus. We command the muscles on the left side of that heart to respond to the power of the God of health and be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God of health. Therefore, we can know your plan and your purpose is that we be well. Thank you for that. Father, we speak these things into Brenda in the name of Jesus. Brenda, I see a lot of disappointment, a lot of disappointment. But God is saying, I truly intend and I truly want to begin to satisfy the longing in your heart. The only way you can experience this is just simply trusting. Just simply trusting. Stop saying, well, I've been there before, and I know how it was then, so that's the way it's going to be again. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. God says it's not going to be the way it was. It's not going to be the way it was. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Simple, trusting faith. Is what God wants of you. And that's all He wants in order to change circumstances in your life and fulfill what you hope, desire. Father, I speak into my sister, faith, simple, trusting faith in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. I'm so thankful to have had the opportunity to speak into your life in one way or another. We travel around the country, and most often in the church, if I'm there two or three days, I try to get to everybody. I have the anointing that I could minister to anybody in this room according to God's purpose, God's plan, but I don't have the stamina. So, you know, I just have to... After listening to my body, and since the Lord hasn't changed that, I assume He intends me to quit when I get tired. Amen. And so we're going to, we're going to stop.
Brother Pittman, God is saying there's a new deal. I don't quite understand this, but he's saying there's a new deal that deal that you've had is going to change. And what's going to come is going to be much more powerful, much more, much farther reaching than what you've had. You're going to find yourself, especially when God says a new deal, you're going to find yourself going into places that you've never been before, seeing things that you've never seen before, experiencing things you've never experienced before. Newness, new things, a new deal, God is saying. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. That's Tim Tell, so it's about time, isn't it? Father, we just thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of Lights. We especially thank you for this gathering together, the fellowship that we have here, that which causes us to know that there's a glorious day coming when we'll not be separated again, but be together for eternity. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, for the hands that prepared the food that we're about to partake of, we ask you to bless them. We speak your blessing upon the food, your peace upon this fellowship, in the name of Jesus. God bless you, folks.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.